Welcome to the Legal Nurse Podcast, where you'll get tips to expand your legal nurse consulting skills. Every week, you'll hear from experts from within and outside the legal nurse consulting business. They'll share their knowledge to help you grow. Your show is moderated by Pat Iyer, a legal nurse consultant with over 30 years' experience. So join our community, sit back, relax, and get ready to learn. Here's your host, Pat Iyer.
Hi, this is LNP 69, How to Create a Strong Legal Nurse Consulting Business. My name is Pat Iyer, and welcome to this edition of Iyer's Insights. Here are some strategies you can implement to create a strong legal nurse consulting business. First, leverage your time and talent. You will build a stronger business if you use subcontractors. Hire people who have particular expertise in an area that you lack, such as a different type of clinical nursing. These individuals can review cases for you. This is a better use of your time than trying to master the nuances of a different area of nursing. Without subcontractors, your income will be dependent upon the number of hours per week that you can work. Train your subcontractors well. Explain your expectations, give them sample work product, review their samples, and be quick to correct and reject those who are not capable of doing the work. I recall getting a call from an attorney who told me my expert had poor grammar and spelling skills. At the time, I did not have a policy in place to proofread my expert's reports. I was horrified by what I saw. We quickly started a proofreading policy that has saved much embarrassment over the years. It helped me evaluate and strengthen the skills of the experts that I worked with. Point three, hire slowly, fire quickly. There's a great deal of wisdom in that expression. Carefully screen employees. A typo on a resume is enough for me to set it aside. I have fired employees for absenteeism, incompetence, and poor attitude. Be grateful when a marginal employee quits. Although it costs short-term disruption, it is far better for a person to self-select out of your system. Don't tolerate marginal work performance. There are far better people looking for work. Point four, use financial controls in your business. Avoid providing embezzlement and theft opportunities. When you have employees, have one person open the mail and another person deposit the money. Do not allow employees to sign checks. No one should be able to sign except for the business owner. One of my colleagues caught an employee buying a personal computer charged to the company credit card. The employee counted on the owner not looking at the credit card bill before she wrote out that check. It was a fluke that the owner saw the bill and caught the purchase. Allow only extremely trustworthy employees to access bank accounts. Point five, be very careful about allowing employees to remotely access your server. I did not allow this in my company. Someone could get a hold of a laptop or desktop computer in an employee's home and gain access to the company's data. And if that employee quits or gets fired, how will you keep your data safe? Point six, your employees are not your friends. Do not be overly generous. Be fair, be aware of the labor laws, and be careful with benefits and bonuses. Our practice of giving an extra $100 at Christmas over the years became an extra week of pay, and then an extra 2 weeks of pay. I thought the employees understood this was optional on my part, but when 2008 came and I was unable to provide that extra paycheck, it affected the morale of my two long-term employees. My practice of giving extra and helping my employees on a personal level came back to bite me. Point seven, pay attention to relationships. Your clients want to work with LNCs that they know, like, and trust. There is a lot at stake in a lawsuit, a lot of time, money, and effort. Look for ways to build relationships with your clients so they would not dream of working with another independent LNC firm. Advise them when you come across a case like theirs that has been settled or tried, and share the result. Be flexible when possible with payment plans. One client of ours was frank with me years ago that his client was responsible for the fees and could not pay the bill, nor could the attorney. Our client told us, "Be flexible with me and I'll make it up to you." He was a loyal client for more than a decade and he paid his bills. Point 8, use honest and ethical business practices. Return unused portions of retainers, keep detailed billing records, and always check for a conflict of interest before accepting a case. A legal vendor I know told me that she only returns unused portions of a retainer if the client asks for them. That strikes me as dishonest. You have to be able to look yourself in the mirror and be proud of your ethics. Point 9, charge reasonable fees that the market will bear. Do not join the rush to the bottom to undercut your competitors. You will destroy your business by performing work at the lowest rate on the market. You'll find it impossible to raise your fees and you will run out of money. One man called me a few years ago to ask if I wanted to bid on doing medical summaries. He quoted a price he had heard from other companies, which was half of our hourly rate. He asked me if I could do better. I wanted to ask him, do better for ourselves or for you? I explained we could not do work at that rate. Another firm asked us to work on pharmaceutical product liability cases and wait until the case settled to get paid. I explained that we could not ask our subcontractors to wait to get paid. I was unwilling to go into debt to pay them before I got paid. Think through the financial consequences of taking these kinds of arrangements. Point 10, charge rush fees. Determine what will constitute a rush rate with a specific time frame and adhere to that rate. I charged my clients and paid my nursing expert witnesses a rush rate when they were expected to produce work on a short turnaround. I resisted rush rates for years, fearing it would cause me to lose business. I found attorneys expected it and even volunteered at times, "If you have to, charge me more to get this done." Next, consider the multiple ways you can reach your market: through a website, a blog, tweets, Facebook, e-zines, emails, videos, and video testimonials. Use these methods to remind your client base of your existence. Learn the nuances of marketing and writing appealing copy for brochures and websites. Your prospect is bombarded with information. You have to capture that person's attention quickly and in a compelling way. I have studied this aspect of running a business. I have invested thousands of dollars in courses and books to learn more about marketing. The more you understand about marketing, the more comfortable and confident you feel. Never stop marketing. That's the last point. At one point, one law firm accounted for 30% of our revenue. It would have been tempting to sit back and relax, but I never stopped marketing, exhibiting, and writing to attract more clients. When the personal injury cases in our state took a nosedive because of changes in the law, my business would have also taken a similar nosedive if I had relied only on this firm for paying the bills. Your primary client could have a sudden change in practice due to a change in the law, or could leave the firm, or drop dead. In my husband's case, 1 year he got 90% of his income from one client. He sold machine parts. Disaster struck when that client figured out a way to cut him out of the deal. My husband lost his entire business overnight and for the next year struggled to make any money at all. I learned from that experience. That's it for tips. I wanted to share with you how you can go even deeper in learning how to manage your legal nurse consulting business. These are just some of the tips that I have about how to handle your legal nurse consulting business. I have a lot more in another one of my new 2017 books called How to Manage Your Legal Nurse Consulting Business, Top Tips for Success. You've gotten your legal nurse consulting business started, you've gotten clients, and you want to sustain your success. Business development and client management are intertwined. In this book, I tackle how to control your money and your goals, how to subdue the evil twins of perfectionism and procrastination, and how to get more done through outsourcing. You can reach a stressed out state as a business owner. I know I did. I share tips for managing your stress and your health. Are you ready to hire an employee? I added a chapter on the process of interviewing and hiring. The second part of the book shares tools and techniques for deepening your relationships with your clients. You will discover how to win over and retain clients you want and recognize those who are too much trouble. Mastering negotiation, business communication, and conflict are essential. I show you how. This is the book to use to build a stable foundation for your business. Get information about ordering it at http://lnc.tips/creating-series. That's http://lnc.tips/creating-series. That's it for today. Thanks for listening, and I'll be talking to you next week. Use the code LISTENED to get a 25% discount on this product. You'll put that code LISTENED in the coupon code box during checkout.
We hope you enjoyed today's episode. Check out Pat Iyer's resources for legal nurse consultants on legalnursebusiness.com. Pat coaches legal nurse consultants so they make more money, get more clients, and avoid expensive mistakes. Check out her coaching program at lncacademy.com. Please subscribe to our podcast and leave a review on iTunes. We always are interested in your ideas for new topics. Please leave a comment on legalnursepodcasts.com. Join our community and get notified of each new episode and receive the transcript of today's program. Complete the request form on legalnursepodcasts.com. We appreciate you and your interest.